So, okay, welcome to my talk, Heroes Not Superheroes, what the heroes would prefer not to tell you. So, why do heroes exist at all? Well, it all started with spam, and to be exact, wiki spam. So, it took a while, it was about, I think, 2 years ago, and it took a while until the admins in Provo answered the spam report at all. It turned out they didn't know too much about maintaining MediaWiki, so in the end, they more or less became my IRC to SSH relay. And, well, some people were annoyed enough to start a Heroes team at the OpenSUSE conference 2016, and moving the wiki and upgrading it to the latest version was the first big project of the Heroes. And we had a Heroes offsite meeting in December 2016, and that showed about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel there. So, basically, moving the wiki is an old topic, and you probably have heard enough funny stories about it on the mailing list, so I won't go into the details. But I have one question I always wanted to ask. Richard, I got lots of gray hair with the Provo guys and all this spam. Will SUSE pay some hair coloring for me? Okay, so let's stay with tunnels for a moment. You might remember in last October there was the planned power outage in Nuremberg. So we had to prepare replacements for the most important services in the Provo data center. And in our first Heroes meeting, we learned to SALT everything. So for those who don't know SALT, that's a configuration management tool that can configure the server so you don't have to do it manually. So guess why I happily did set up the wikis in Provo for that weekend? Well, we are completely salted, so it's not hard to get a copy of them. The only funny part was to move all the wiki data, which is around, I think, 16 gigs. And Provo has this nice 10 MB traffic shaping, so it took a while. But anyway, you can also guess why some other services were not available during this time. Well, part of the problem is that some services were not salted. And you can also imagine how much the people liked when I told them, didn't you tell us to salt everything? So, for example, the HA proxy, which is a reverse proxy in front of all our websites, was set up manually, and then again in Provo, and same for some other services we had to keep running during the outage. And yeah, I mean, even if it's some work left, because you also have to move the data, but having it salted makes things much easier. And I mean, obviously, we couldn't move the OBS because that would have meant to move a rack of servers. So that's impossible. So, we are still in the power outage. What happened to download OpenSUSE.org? Well, there was a replacement set up in Provo with lib42.3. You probably know it as the provomirror.opensuse.org. And when we switched over the name servers, it basically broke because the old tuning options we knew from the Apache 2.2 did no longer work with Apache 2.4. And we just got a nice log message saying scoreboard is full, whatever. So I googled for it. Ah, it's a known bug. Fixed in the next version, thank you. I googled a bit more. Well, yes, you can work around with config settings. So, just to give you some numbers, I had to... the next funny thing is, I'm not really the maintainer of that server, but when I had googled what that message means and whatever, then Lars told me, if you already have googled it, why don't you just fix it yourself? So, you see, never give an admin your little finger because he might take the whole hand. So, and to give you some numbers of the settings, we had to go to a server limit of 50, 2000 max clients, 50 threads per child, and unlimited max requests per child. So, and the funny thing was, well, this what as this time our main download OpenSUSE.org server, but and working on it in production is funny, but on the other hand, well, it was already broken, so what could go wrong? So, still the power outage, so we had to switch over lots of DNS entries, which we also did, with one exception, static OpenSUSE.org, and that is how our wiki looked at this time, because all the style sheets and whatever is served by static OpenSUSE.org. So we had still some power left in Nuremberg to boot a machine that does the DNS management again. Changed the DNS entry for static OpenSUSE.org to proxy provo and then found out that the nice Microfocus admins had firewalled that IP again after we had it opened a few days before. The good thing was we still had the IPs for proxy provo 1 and this one was still open, so we used that. Well, we do our management of the name server entries and Heroes user accounts in FreeIPA. Maybe you know it. And the funny thing about FreeIPA is that packaging it seems to be quite hard. So it is running on a virtual machine with Fedora to manage all the OpenSUSE stuff. So if you are bored enough to package it for OpenSUSE, you are welcome. And until then, I have to say thanks to our friends at Fedora for handling it. So changing host names and IPs, funny stuff. So the one thing we did was changing the internal host names to whatever.infra.opensuse.org, which makes sense because we wanted to have a nice scheme. But, well, removing old host names can cause a few problems. I mean, something like mysql.opensuse.org might be used by a few services. So you better should keep these old DNS entries until you are really sure they are unused. Well, or you have the IP in your config files. That might also be an option which would have prevented some trouble in this case. But, well, did I just say that using IPs is a good idea? So then we changed internal IPs because we have a separate VLAN and it also makes sense to have a separate IP range. So yeah, we had some funny failures. For example, XInit still tried to bind to the old IP and obviously failed, but that was easily fixed by restarting it. We had some less funny failures like database connections coming from the wrong IP because it was changed. And so that meant, for example, that the wiki just told you cannot access the database because the user is very restricted to the old IP. So, lesson learned, please think twice before changing IPs. And in this case, you were lucky if you referenced the service by hostname. And yes, compare that with the previous slide. But because changing IPs is so funny, we tried it again. This time with the external IPv6 range. So, well, basically it worked, but then we found out that there is no reverse DNS and therefore Google did no longer accept our mailing list mails. So the solution for now is we switch back to the old range. Right, that skipped one slide, sorry. Yeah. Here we are. Downtimes and user reactions. So, one moment. Yeah, here we are. So we had one case where software opensuse.org/search was down for half a day. And the result was that we got about one ticket per hour. So please check status opensuse.org before opening a ticket. And on the other hand, we had a case on Easter where the whole software opensuse.org was down for half a day. So including the search and no ticket, nobody complained. But why? Well, if the search is down, for example, because AppData broke once more, then you will get an error message saying 404 not found. So people start to send us tickets. But if the whole software OpenSUSE.org is down, then you get this nice page. So people think, oh, the admins work on software OpenSUSE.org for 12 hours on Easter Sunday. Wow. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you have been trolled. And just by the way, in the end, we only needed someone with enough permissions to restart the service. So, I mentioned tickets. So, after the first Heroes Offsite meeting, we got access to the ticket system. And well, you will soon see why I chose this picture. So, that's the statistic of the admin tickets we receive. So on average, it's like 35 tickets per month or only one per day. Spam is not included in these numbers because we simply delete the spam tickets. And well, you see, it's quite a lot of tickets. So, oh, by the way, there's an easy way to create lots of ticket activity. So write to admin@opensuse.org. with one of our mailing lists in CC, and then wait until we answer this ticket, because our ticket system will of course send a reply to everybody in CC. The mailing list server will tell you, sorry, you are not subscribed. The ticket system will of course confirm that it received that mail, and now you have a nice loop. I mean, it's a good performance test for our server, so why not? And one of that endless loops cost to have, I think, about 500 comments in a ticket, which meant it was funny to get that ticket closed because you could no longer load it in the web interface. And an earlier test showed us that 300 comments, which were also caused by a loop, seems still to be okay for our software. So we could close that in a normal way. And just in case you now want to try it out, as far as I know, we found a way to prevent this. So, and you might also see that the ticket system was used since 2013, so long before the Heroes team was founded. So, and you also see that the closed bars are often lower than the opened bars. So let's see what that means for the ticket age and number of open tickets. So you can see how many tickets were open at a point in time and how old they are. The problem with this is, as you can see, it went more and more and more, and some of them became older and older. So, yeah. Lots of old tickets, lots of open tickets, so there's clearly room for improvement, especially when it comes to the tickets that are open for ages. I mean, there are also some tickets included for internal stuff like change that service to do this and that. So it's not all about broken things we need to fix quickly. But still, I think too many open tickets, so we have to improve there. Oh, and by the way, guess when the Heroes got access to the ticket system? So that should explain why I picked that picture, right? But we had more fun. One classic example is having a full disk. So for example, we had that on our mailing list server not too long ago because our mailing list admin had changed syslog not to write the mail info log, which makes sense because it's basically a duplicate. He also removed mail info from the log rotate config. And then we had the idea, oh, we should have removed syslogging and deploy everything with salt. And then mail info was back. So a few days later, the disk was full. What a surprise. So what did we learn from that? Number one, don't remove superfluous log rotate config. It doesn't hurt to keep it. And number two, when you start to solve something on the base system level, then please tell everybody. That's not the first time we had fun with full disk because of missing log rotation. I also remember a log file of, I think, 3 gig on our internal GitLab server. And yeah, lessons learned for that are, when you set up a server, keep log rotation in mind. And maybe sometimes look at the monitoring to see if the disk is nearly full. And well, I said our mailing list admin did the thing you have on the slide. So what did he say after we found out what had happened? Okay, so next fun. Countdown OpenSUSE.org. So we got a new design for Leap 15 about 2 weeks ago at the weekend. And our designer came up on the IRC channel, can you check what's wrong? It doesn't deploy automatically. Okay. So I checked which server hosts it are. Okay, it was community infra OpenSUSE.org. Checked where it hides. Yes. So, yes, it indeed does not update. So just for testing, I did a git pull in my home repo, in my home directory there. Not even that worked because GitHub said the SSL version was too old. So, that was strange. So in the end, it turned out that we have a separate rendering server and someone had disabled git pull there because he had done local modifications. Great idea if you have everything in Git. So, what did we learn from that? Obviously, don't do local modifications to a Git repo, commit everything. Also, please do not disable cron jobs. And one more, write some documentation so that everybody knows what the server does and if stuff is split up, where the other part lives. But actually, that breakage helped us yesterday, which might sound funny for now, because Ludwig noticed that the countdown did not switch to counting hours instead of days. So it was that mail. So yeah, I mean, finding the bug was not too hard because it was a bug in the Python code. So easily fixed, but still annoying. And by the way, I'm not sure, is Ludwig in the room? So I'm serious about my comment. Another thing we did recently is using Let's Encrypt certificates everywhere. Well, everywhere, mostly. You might know Beans OpenSUSE.org. That's our PWIC instance for web statistics. And it runs in another subnet. And somehow we forgot to put the updated certificate there. So in the end, we had a nice error message saying certificate expired for it, or Firefox just silently ignore it. So Doug, if you noticed a big drop in our web statistics on April 23rd, here's why. The next fun, that's from Connect OpenSUSE.org, which also produces the list of OpenSUSE.org mail address aliases. So, and it had a database problem, and it turned out that our OpenSUSE.org mail addresses were completely broken. Then I proposed, can you please add a safety check when generating that file? So something like, it should at least have 100 lines. And the answer was, yeah, that check was in place, but the error page was big enough. So lesson learned, better check for the content, not the size. So I think everybody likes cats, but most people don't like the idea of appearing in this talk too much. So what's my personal strategy to avoid mistakes? So I do lots of tests with virtual machines at home on my laptop, which means I can hide lots of my errors, which are, just to give you an idea, often simple typos in the salt code or in config files. Sometimes missing parts like, oh, that service does not start automatically. Sometimes I also use it to have some draft salt code and make it nice before I commit it. And I also regularly destroy these VMs, let's all them set up again to see that everything works as expected. So in the perfect case, we get a just working salt state. Well, did I say perfect case? Even that can fail. So for example, our election server we used this year, well, it worked mostly, but there was a background daemon that crashed every time the database connection went away. And I mean, if you have elections for some weeks, it's easy to lose the database connection. So yeah, we had to restart that a few times. But on the positive side, this was only something the election admins noticed when they wanted to count the votes. So nothing that affected our members. And another funny example was that one day our monitoring complained that a log file on the log server was too old, so no changes in the day, which is strange for a log file. I checked it, and funnily, the last modification date was when I switched off my test virtual machine. So, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with central syslog servers, but I nevertheless changed my setup so that it does no longer log my local test virtual machines to the official OpenSUSE logs. But there's also a strategy if you want to appear in this talk, and it's all on the slide. So help the heroes to maintain our infrastructure. It's that simple. Because whenever you do something, you will make mistakes. So also, if you recognize someone too often in this talk, that means he or she has done a lot. It would still be nice if you don't make too many mistakes and don't make the same mistake twice. So the only way not to do mistakes is do nothing. And that's the worst you can do. So unit tests for our salt code. Theo will tell you about the tests we run on Sunday, so I'll only show a quick preview. So when we introduce the first tests, this is one of our test script, an early version. So it collects the roles, so the jobs each machine does from the pillar ID $servername files, which is the list of machines, and then checks if there are unused roles in our salt role directory. So when we first ran that script, it showed us that our salt code was a bit buggy, so there were some unused roles. So we removed them to make the test green. Let the script run again. So fixed. Hey, I said green. So what happened? Look at the script again. So the status variable is only initialized if there are unused files, so if something has to go wrong. And otherwise, if it should display everything okay, then the status variable was undefined, which let the script fail. And the reaction on IRC? Well, the tests are green fails, nice. Yes, we never thought that would happen. So we also have some challenges left in the future. I mean, otherwise it would be boring. So we have some legacy system, you could also call them really stable. For example, static OpenSUSE org is really static and not automatically deployed from Git. We have some old SLI 11 virtual machines, for example, the countdown, connect, travel support, these things, so we really need to replace them. Sometimes it's a funny task to find out what exactly these machines do, especially if it does more than one job. Then another thing we have on our plate is migrating the main OpenSUSE website, news OpenSUSE org, lizards, and so on to Nuremberg. We also have to replace connect OpenSUSE org and the membership management because that's terribly unmaintained. Another important challenge is whatever we change, please do it with salt. which I have to tell people all the time, even the people that told me to use salt. Oh, and a final word on the challenges. If you notice infrastructure problems during the release party tonight, then please follow Theo's advice, which is this one. So, with that, I'm near the end of my talk. And there is one last thing I want to show you. That is, we had a board meeting in the last days and we updated our wiki pages, maybe you noticed. And Richard also updated the list of board members and found an interesting way to break the design. So, and I will share one item of our meeting notes with you. So, the page was broken with the old design, and well, I mean, if you check, look at the page change log, you will also see a comment from Anna, fix what Richard broke. But actually, we found a much better solution, and that is, well, give me a second to get it on the right screen. Okay, here we go. So, you know our wiki, and I just deployed, let me reload it, the new design. So, and with that, I'll finish my talk and hope that I don't have to add another slide in the next half an hour. So have fun with the Leap 15 release.